and he gives a chalitzo. Now this chalitzo is he's a chalitzo min ha'erusin, and so she is a betura. Kesubosin mosayin. All these, the kesubi is 200. So it comes out, although there has been erusin, but there was never nisuin, and she is a kesuba. Therefore, she is a basula. Therefore, her kesuba is 200. Ve'yeshlo hentan is basulim, and he's got a claim of kesulim. So Rashi learns it that if he marries one of these women, and he gives her a kesuba of 200, and the first night after the marriage he finds that she is not a basula, he finds that she is a basula, it's a mekach to us. It's a mekach to us.
What is that again?
A mekach to us means, if I buy Rolls Royce from you, and you present me with an ox wagon.
It's a void purchase.
Void purchase. It's, that's not what I bought from you. And you tell me a story. It doesn't use petrol, you know. Oh, how valuable it is. It doesn't use gas.
I have a question.
Yes?
But the difference is buying a Rolls Royce. I mean, somebody could argue that it's like saying, I'll give you a Rolls Royce, then when you get the Rolls Royce, it's missing a hubcap.
No.
It
depends what one's model standards are, I suppose. Comes down to that.
Well,
isn't that I know exactly what you're saying. Wait, pardon?
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, of course I understand. Of course I understand, but I'd like you to understand what I'm saying too.
That I understand.
Can we know the level to which things can vary and still be within reason, and at which point they are not within reason?
So the need to prove them, so what we can gewähnt werden. May you never experience to that which you can become accustomed to. You don't understand what that means?
Not clearly.
Not in context.
No, you want to, first of all, it means, you know, it's surprising what a human being can take. I would rather not put to the test of that to which I could accustom myself. You know, a man is living. Would he ever be able to think that he would be able to live in a room that is 6 feet by 2 feet without windows? And that has got to be his kitchen and his dining room also. Can you live like that? If you've got to live like that, surprising how you get accustomed to it. So manit proved then, so Bosman came to bank then. I'd rather not be put to the test to that to which I can become accustomed. You follow? If you want to come nearer home, today one is accustomed already. One gets accustomed that person doesn't keep Shabbos. Do you know what it means, a person not to keep Shabbos? What it means. Goes through the Gemara. The Shogeg, it's a Korban, the Mazid, it's Kores, it's a Edim, it's a Mises Bezdim. You almost toot something breaking Shabbos. Person goes past me and he's breaking Shabbos. How many hairs do I turn? How many hairs do I turn? Why not? If a person goes past me and he's killing everybody he sees, just shooting him down, everybody. How many hairs do I turn? I see him breaking Shabbos. How many hairs do I turn?
I see it two ways. One is naturally, the natural inclination is to feel a great reaction. On the other hand, it may be better not to see him breaking Shabbos.
No, but I do see him. I want to, I do see him, it's better not to see, but I'm speaking about reality. I'm seeing him. How many years do I turn? One. My whole head should be turning. Why do I take it so calmly? I've become accustomed to it. I've become accustomed to it. I write it to Suba. The girl's never been married before. I've got to worry if she's a ba'ula or not. Now I don't have to worry anymore. Once the time I didn't have to worry anymore. Why? Because I knew she was a ba'ula. I didn't have to worry. Now I also don't have to worry anymore. Because I know she's a ba'ula. How many hairs do I turn now? I've become accustomed to it. So man niet geproefd werden, so was man kan geweint werden. I'd rather not put to experience all the things to which one can become accustomed. It's very, very bad to what one can become accustomed. Right, so much for that. Milton, I believe?
Yes.
Answer the question.
Yes, in fact, I was thinking of your previous discussion about that very question.
Yeah.
When I asked my question,
I'm sure.
It's in the nature of the whole thing.
Yes, yes, of course. That is how it goes, comes accustomed to this sort of thing.
It's an interesting thing, though, because not so very long ago, before I ever began learning,
yes,
to me it was like the car missing the hubcap. In other words, I had become accustomed to it.
And now
I would think that the difference was not grave. And today, I'm extremely aware of the difference.
Don't know what you have done for me. Because that is one of the great purposes of this shiur. To reverse the process. One of the world's greatest gynecologists and obstetricians, he and his wife, happened to hear he's spending one day in Los Angeles and he's spending 2 days in San Diego, back again to Cleveland, where he's in the Sinai Hospital. He's built up this year, he's built up a department of microsurgery in gynecology and obstetrics. And he heard I was here, and they came over to see us. They were staying in the hotel in Beverly Hills. He just heard that we were here, and he came over to see me. I know him now for quite some time. And we didn't have very much time together, and I wanted to know what he was doing. Well, several things. One of the things that he was doing is, he told me, he said, America. You don't know what America is. I said, look, I know what California is. That's already... You still want me to know America? That's enough for me. Okay, he said, America, you don't know what it is. Do you know that they sterilize people in America? But for no reason. Just sterilize people. He said, what we are doing now, we are reversing the process. People who have been sterilized and want children again. We are now reversing the process. Taking a person who's been sterilized, being able, that is some of the work that we are doing now in microsurgery. He is probably the man in the world today on his subject. That's what I'm doing. I'm reversing the process. A whole part of you has been cut out. I don't mean you only. A whole part of you has been cut out. You don't react to anything like that anymore. That is what the Gemara does. So what we are doing is we are doing microsurgery of the spirit, of the soul, of the character. You don't even see it. That's why it's micro. Because we can't see it. We've got to have microscopes and all sorts of things. This is our microscope. We'll get back to it.
I have to say one thing.
Yes.
That people wouldn't be here unless they wanted that surgery to begin with.
Exactly. You know that to perform an operation on a person and you haven't got his permission, you get into serious trouble. I don't want people at a shir who don't want to come. Don't want those people. I don't want people at a shir who don't want to face reality. I don't want that. You follow? I'm not their cup of tea. Nor are they mine. Which doesn't mean to say there's anything wrong with me. Fine, let us go further. So, here we've got, so Rashi says, in that case, he says it's a metaphor. Yaakov, are you with me? Now, let us tackle our Rashi, and then we've got this lovely little Tosfos to go to. Says Rashi, must be in the inner columns, Rashi, says Rashi, Basulo almono ugrosha, bain basulo shi almono agrusha, uchlutsa, we know everything, the chos rovenisais. So Rashi just wants you to be, don't fall into the trap and say, a basulo, or an almono, or a grusha, or a chlutsa from the Edison, it's one phrase. If a person is, she is a basulo, but she is an almona mina erusin, or a grusha mina erusin, or a chlutza mina erusin, their kesuba is 200. That's what Rashi said. Bein basulo, she almona, a grusha, a chlutza mina erusin. The chozro venisais. And now she's going to marry a second time. Her kesuba is 200. And that shows you how a woman can get married more than once, and more than twice, and more than three times, and she gets a kesuba of a mona of Bosan each time, because she's still a basula. That can happen. Have you got the idea, David?
Yes.
Yeah. That is what the Gemara says. Now, let us do the first Tosfos on the top of the page. Tosfos, I'll tell you first of all, what is worrying Tosfos. We have got an almona, a grusha, and a chlutza mina erusin. Those three things. Says what Tosfos is worried now. A chlutza is an almona. What is a chlutza? Her husband died, so it happened that her husband didn't have any children. From this marriage, couldn't be children. Because she was only erusin, there wasn't a chuppah. Before this marriage, from this woman, couldn't be children. There wasn't a chuppah. They weren't married yet. There wasn't a birchas erusin. There wasn't birchas chuppah. How can he couldn't live with her? So from this marriage and from this woman he hasn't got. But he might have been married before. And if he was married before he had children from that, then there is no yibum and there is no chlitzo. What happens if he had an illegitimate child with a woman? Or he had a child with a... he seduced a girl and she had a child, and heaven knows where it is. It may be in a place, it may be in an app. Can be. There, no yibum nechlitzo. Because he has got seed. But if he's speaking where the husband has no seed whatsoever, yes.
Could that include a non-Jew?
No. Oh no.
Only
a Jewish child.
A
mamzer, yes. But maybe a Jewish child.
A mamzer would come too.
Yes, yes. You know, there's a famous case that happened in Germany, must be 150, 60, 70 years ago, with the Chassan Sofer. There was a man in the community, and he wanted to marry his deceased brother's wife. Now, we don't allow Yibum anymore. It's only chlitza. And he brought the Rov to court, and he brings a Bible to court, and he shows the judge, he says, look what it says there. It says that it's a mitzvah for a man to take his deceased brother's wife. I want to take my deceased brother's wife. So they called the judge and the rabbi to come, and play the card. Who was the Rov? The Chassam Sefer. Play with the Chassam Sefer. So he puts the Chassam Sefer into the box and starts, you know, is this the law of Yibum? Yes. Chacham Sofer, he was too clever to go and try and explain the judge, but nowadays we don't allow Hebrew, must be Chizah, he doesn't. He says, yes. He says, why isn't this man allowed to marry his deceased brother's wife? Says so in the law. He said, very simply, if you just read it carefully, it says, if he has no seed. If this court is prepared to guarantee that this man lived such a righteous life that he's got no children anywhere, the back streets, in the farms, no children, with the greatest of pleasure. But you must guarantee it, please. What do you call him here? Your honor, your worship, what do you call him here? Your honor. But you must guarantee it, your honor. I can't guarantee that. Finished. That's all. That's all. That's the way the Qasam Sefer worked it. But that's clever, you see. Say as little as possible. Right. The Sula Almona Gerusha Chlutzo. So what's worrying Tosfos is that a chalutzo, if once you deal with a chalutzo, it means that you know she must be an almona. So it's included. So if it's an almona mina evesin, the chalutz is also an almona mina evesin. Tosfos is very clever here. Says Tosfos, nir el lefaresh. It would appear to me to explain. Philip, you are worried about the words, so I'll be particularly careful to give you all the words. Nir el lefaresh, it would appear to explain, to be explained. Yirevuso nokad chalutzo, that the Mishnah brings in the word chalutzo, brings in the case, the situation of chalutzo, as a revuso. Revuso means a chidush, to let us know something new, something that we wouldn't have known from the Mishnah. We wouldn't have known. Hadn't it been in the Mishnah, we wouldn't have known chalutzo. Had it only said almona grusha mina erusin, we would not have known chalutzo. Because I would have thought, literally, the salko, it would have gone, datoch, onto your mind, amino, to say. But the phrase, the salko, datoch, amino, because I would have said, kiven de shomeres yovem, lo mechzeroch anisa lechupo share yevom yova olea bal korcho. The law is that a Shomeres Yovel, now let us get the terms right and then we will know them for always. The terms are the woman whose husband has died without leaving any issue, and now she is subject to marriage to one of the brothers. She is called a Shomeres Yovel. That is, she is watching over the Yovel. A brother of the deceased husband is called a Yovel. She is called a Shomeres Yovel. The duty of the Yovel to the Shomeres Yovel is either he takes her to his Wabi's wife, then she becomes a Yevomo. Not a Shomeres Yovel, once he takes her to wife, she's a Yevomo. Or he gives her chlitzo. That means he divorces her from this relationship. And he gives her chlitzo, then she becomes a chalutzo. Clear? Now what happens here is that she is an almono mina eresin, and there are no children, so she is a Shomeres Yovel. Now the law of a Shomeres Yovel is that the Yovel doesn't give a kiddushin, doesn't help anything, doesn't do anything. And in any case, you can say, well, the brother's already given kiddushin. The law is that the yovel doesn't even do chuppah. So what does he do? He takes her, and he lives with her. And as soon as he lives with her, she becomes his yevomah. So the kinyan is the actual bio, that is the kinyan, becomes the yevomah. You remember what you said last week, because I'm using that to understand the whole Tosfos, Rabbi Uncle David. Big schus for your mother. big schus for your mother. Now, so the way we learn this is that this woman now, she's a Shemeres Yovim, any one of the brothers of her husband can just take her, and as soon as he takes her, she is. So it means that she needs chuppah. No, she doesn't need chuppah. Now, if she is a Shemeres Yovim, and she doesn't need chuppah, and she is a basula, what worries Tosfos is, shouldn't we regard her, since she doesn't need chuppah, as being a basula after nisuin? For example, if a man does eirusin with a girl, a year later there's the chuppah, but before he has a chance to live with her, that night he dies. So she's a basula. So now she only gets 100. Because once there's been Nisuin, although she's a basura, but once there's been Nisuin, she gets 100. So what Tosfos says, I could have worked out a case, and I could have said that if she is a chlutzo, what was she before she was a chlutzo? An aruso. Between being an aruso and becoming a chlutzo, what was she? Shemeres Yovim, good. She was a Shemeres Yovim. That as soon as she becomes a Shemeres Yovim, then her relationship to the Yovim is, to the prospective Yovim, to the Yovim is, there needs be no nisuin, there need be no chuppah. He just takes her immediately, there be no chuppah. So in that case, shouldn't she be regarded as a woman, and now he gives her chlitz and she gets married. Shouldn't she be regarded as a woman who was a basula after nisuin? Because the Yovim didn't have to have any nisuin in her. So she should be regarded as a basula after nisuin. And so she gets chlutzo. But before Chlitzitz too she was a basula, but she was a basula not from the Eirusin, from the Nisuin, because she doesn't need chuppah at all. So the Yovel, when he gives a Chlitzah, means he gave a Chlitzah, and he didn't need any chuppah. No, so it's the same as, come back, David, when you finish. So, in that case, if she is a basula from the Nisuin, she should get only 100. So the Rebuso is, the Chidush is that she gets 200, that she's not regarded as that. We've got to work out, and we'll do that just now, why there's even a Havamina for that. Yes, what do you want to ask?
Can the Yovim take the woman?
Yes.
Immediately upon the death of the man?
Yes.
In other words, there's no time in between.
Well, there's Shiva. He wouldn't. No, first of all, there's Shiva. Secondly, he's not allowed to take her before 90 days.
So the question is.
The reason for 90 days, those 90 days, please remember this, are called Yemei Havchono. So that one should be quite certain that if a child is born afterwards, that you know whose child it is. Because let us say a child is born, he takes her immediately. Then you don't know whose child it is. It might be from the last B of the previous one.
How will that matter, though, if it's a case of
Yuval? It will make
a difference. A case of what?
It's a case of Yovim.
So what's the matter?
Because won't the child still have the name?
It means that there hasn't been a child yet, but there could be a child.
No, no.
Well, he can't marry her if he's going to have a child.
Okay.
That would be horrible.
Yes?
Okay, but the question I had was, we're saying, at least let me try to see if I understand this, because the man, the Yovim, has the immediate right to have Bia with her.
Yes.
That we're saying that's why she only gets 100.
I could have thought that she gets why, because that means he doesn't need chuppah with her.
Right.
If he doesn't need chuppah with her, it is then she is in a state of being a basula after chuppah.
Right.
Then the kesuba should be only 100.
Right.
That I could have thought. So therefore, it puts in chalutzo mina eros in the kesuba is also 200. So it's necessary to have it. Now just let us see inside. Yes.
One last question.
Yes.
What would happen in to the ketubah in Judea where there was a yifuin after kerosene?
Yes.
What would happen after to the ketubah in Judea as opposed to the rest of Israel?
Yehuda.
Yehuda, where they had yifuin.
They have Yichud at Erosin.
Yeah.
They have Yichud at Erosin in Yehudo. He would still give his Aruso. He would still give his the woman at the time of Hufa. He would still give her a Kesuba of 200 because if there was Bia, she is a Be'ulas Atzmo. He himself was the one who made her a Bia.
But then what happens in the situations that we're talking about now?
He passes on prior to Chuppah.
Where he dies before there's Chuppah, and we're talking about how in most situations she has to...
No, then if the Eirusin was in Yehuda, she'd only get 100. That's quite clear. They should only get 100, because the Chazuk is broken. They should only get 100. All right. Saul, you wanted to ask me something?
Basically, similar to
what Paul said.
Basically, the same question. I know that. As to whether or not there would be, between Erisin and Nisuin, there used to be a year waiting.
Yes.
In the case of
Yavoma.
No,
it doesn't apply. You see, it's a different, whole different thing. So, therefore, I'll go through their case first again, and I don't have to spend. Yes.
I have another question about the Yavana. What happens if the woman claims that she is pregnant?
You leave her severely alone.
What is it again?
You leave her alone.
In the case of Yavamani, she just said...
No, once she's pregnant, you leave her alone. If she's pregnant, of course, we're only too happy.
She said so.
Look here, she can't say so for too many years.
So he has to wait for until 90.
She can't say so for longer than 90 days.
Well,
it becomes a little bit obvious after
that. What if she says, well, I have a feeling that last night I was pregnant.
Last night, how do you get pregnant last night when your husband's been dead for 90 days already?
No, he died this morning. Last night I got pregnant.
That may be.
So we have to
wait. We wait 90 days. In any case, we wait 90 days to clear it. All right? Right. Now, Larry got the idea. I would be going over that Tosfos again. Basul al-mona gerusha chlutzo. Says Tosfos, Mirei la-parish, it would appear that the way to explain it is dinavuso noker chlutzo. That the chalutzo, the situation of chalutzo, because three women are mentioned, and almona grusha chalutzo, that the chalutzo is there, because I would have thought, that it puts the chalutzo there, the third part, for a chidush. The salko daite chamino, I would have thought, given the shemeres yobem lo bechsel okun isel chupo. Since in the case of shemeres yobem, she doesn't need the chupa. Literally, the Shemeres Yovem, there isn't lacking. In the case of the Shemeres Yovem, Lo Metzor, there isn't lacking. Kenisa Lechupa, being beneath Chupa, entry beneath Chupa. Shei Yerei Yavoma, Leo Balkorko, because the Yavoma can take her even against her will. The Yavoma is allowed to take her. The Havyamino, and I might have thought, Dichenesuyo Damyo, that she is just like a Nesu'or to the Shemeres Yovel. So if the Shemeres Yovel now gives a Chalitza, it means he has given Chalitza to a woman who is the equivalent of a Basula from the time of Nisuin. Once she is a Basula from the time of Nisuin, there she only gets 100. So I might have thought that she gets only 100, Komashvelon, so the Mishnah by putting in Chalutzo tells us that she also gets 200. So that is the Tosfos, which is quite, Mr. Newman, have you got the idea of the Tosfos?
Yes.
Now, straightforward test. So, we asked questions last week. David was in the forefront of this question. David Archer was in the forefront of this question. And it was a very good question. David said, Kumtosat works out like this. It works out, a man takes a woman, and he is Makadesh the woman. Hare at Mekudeshes Liva Dabas Zukadas Mosheva Yisroel. Live with her after that, he can't. Because there's still got to be Sheva Brochas, and there's still got to be a Chupa, can't live with her. He dies, and now she is a Shemeresh Yovel. The Shemeresh Yovel doesn't need Chupa, he marries her immediately. So it means that the bond to the Shemeresh Yovel, the bond between the Shemeresh Yovel and the Yovel, is a closer bond than the bond between the Choson, the Orus, and the Aruso, which seems very, very strange. Right? That was our difficulty. So Rabbi Yaakov Dovid said a wonderful thing at the Shir last week. He says it's not, he says one can understand it. Said Rabbi Yaakov Dovid, it's not that the Yovem and the Shomeris Yovem have got a closer relationship than had the Mekadesh, the Mekadesh and the Mekudeshes, the Orus and the Aruso. But, said Rabbi Yaakov Dovid, in the case of a marriage, of a straight marriage, we've got the Kinyan of Chupa. What is the Kinyan of Chupa? The Kinyan of Chupa, the Chupa represents the home, and it shows that she wants to go into his home and he wants to go into her home. That is the Kinyan. And going into the home, what does it mean? It means companionship. It means division of labor. It means the establishment of a home. It means a family. But look how many things it means. That is the Kinyan for you. But in the case of a woman that falls a Yovem, a Shomeres Yovem, what is the purpose of Yibum? Lokim Zera. Have children. If the purpose is to have children, then there's only one kind of Kinyan that you can have. That's the Kinyan of Beor. That's what it's there for. The Chupa hasn't got sufficient meaning. It's not strong enough for it. So the only Kinyan that you can have is a Kinyan of Yibum. So when Tosfos says, Kumashman Tosfos says, it's not like we could have thought. Why not? Because the bond between the Orus and the Arusa is stronger. And the reason why the Shomeres Yovel doesn't need Knisa Lechupa, why she doesn't need a Knisa Lechupa, is there's no Kinyan that can take its place. The only Kinyan is that. But the only Kinyan is Beor. But you can't say that because there is no Chupa, it's as if there was a Chupa. Certainly not. If anything, her bond to the Yovel is less than the bond was to her husband, to her Orus. And that is the Chumash Halal. Yes.
On the other hand, they
I just want to say, before you go, Leonin. Leonin. Leonid. Leonid, sorry. Leonid. Just before I go, there's nothing, you see. According to the Din Torah, the raw Din of the Torah, he can take her even if she doesn't want to. So what's the idea of Chupa? He can take even if she doesn't want to. So it's a different thing altogether. Another thing I want you to know, that today, of course, the law of Yibum is different. If there were such a thing as Yibum today, what the Chachomim instituted long ago. In fact, I don't think there was ever a time where a man, a Yovem, just went and he took the Shomeres Yovem. They instituted what was Mamor. Mamor is, as I explained to you last time, it's the equivalent of our Kiddushin, but it's Midrabono. Because according to the way we do it, a marriage must go by degrees. What are the degrees? First of all, Shiduchim, then Tnoim, then Eirusim, then the Suim, then Bio.
Could you explain those again? I remember.
Shiduchim, where the parents come together and they decide, should we arrange for these young people to meet, and they think that nobody knows anything that has been arranged for them to meet. Is it worthwhile? I said, it's not a bad idea. They meet. The girl comes home, the mother says, well, where were you two this afternoon? She said, I went out with the son. So, what do you think of him? He's a nice fella. Boy, he can't wait to get home. He tells his father, no, did I meet a girl this afternoon? She's just too wonderful. He knows already. They see to it that they meet a second time and a third time. Now this girl is much more enthusiastic with her mother about the boy, and the boy remains as enthusiastic as he was about the girl. So now the Shiduchim has taken that right. Now the parents come together and they say, look here, perhaps it's worthwhile. They seem to hit it off together. We seem to like one another. Maybe a good idea. Right. So they decide. They call in the young people and they say, look here, you seem to like one another. What's the sense? How long is this going to go on? You've seen one another three times already. Once an accident, twice a coincidence, three times. I say yes. So they arrange for the Tnoim. At the Tnoim, they arrange for the wedding. Tnoim is the engagement. Then they arrange for Kiddushin. And then Kiddushin is Nisui. Then they get married. That's the way respectable people do it. Right?
Right.
You're getting accustomed to these ideas now.
Much more so.
I'm setting a two-date maximum, Rabbi.
I'm
setting a two-date maximum.
Rabbi, it's appropriate to speak about tonight. Doesn't have to be now.
Yes, all right. You know, when we do kesubas, everything comes up. There'll certainly be an occasion. If everybody sitting around this table were already married, I'd be worried. I didn't have a... now that everybody isn't married, thank you very much, David. Now that everybody isn't married, I'm more worried. But at least we know that there are going to be weddings. There are going to be weddings, and there will be tenoim, and then we'll have an occasion to speak about it, I'm sure. All right? Sure. Now, let us go into the Gemara. Ask the Gemara a question.
Yes. There's one thing I think about that's puzzling to me is, how do we know, or is, am I missing a Mishnah, that the Tula that already had Nisuin would have deserved 100? Because the first Mishnah opens up, the Tula of Matayim. And, you know, the Mishnah already gave the other two cases of the Tula who had Nisuin.
Three cases. Amona, Grusha, Chalutza.
No, it already gave the Amona and Grusha.
Yes.
So the Chalutza, you know, I still understand. I know I understand why she's in the position of having been already Nisuin, but I don't understand where the halakha was that she would have gotten only 100.
From the words itself, the Sulo. Who is an almona, a gerusha or a chlutzo, mino erusin ketubos and mosai. The diuk is, and from the nesuin, if she's a nesulo, what would you say?
No. If she was from the...
Nesuin or the sulo?
Masai.
No. If you say, it says, the sulo almona gerusha or chlutzo mino erusin ketubos and mosai. What would have been the position if she would have been Basulo Armona Grusha Vachalutsu Mina Nasui?
That's what I'm saying. Where is that from? I didn't know.
What would you say? The Diuk. The inference. What would the inference be?
I So the inference would be it would be 100.
Would be 100
or 200?
Because for Aruso, it is 200.
Okay,
so it means 100. Then, but
okay,
furthermore, if for a basula from an Asuin would have been 200, if it would not be the same, where would it be more likely to be less? A basula from the Arusin or a basula from the Nasuin? Where is more likely to be less?
What? He hadn't said this.
Yes.
From the
Nasuin.
Sure.
So if from the Nasuin it's 200, let the Mishnah rather say from Amona Grusha Chutzim in Anasuin, because the boss are 200, and from the Arusin I would know by myself. You follow?
Yeah.
So there's no question about it, that from the Nasuin that it's 100. Have you got it, Mr. Gilbert?
Right.
Fight for it, and it's gone. Yes,
and the Basula and Nasuin had Yichud already?
A Basula from the Nasuin, that is a very good question. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she's had Yichud already.
Okay.
Yes, she's had Yichud already. Okay. Ask the Gemara, yes?
I don't want to muddy the water, but...
You don't want to?
I can argue that from the fact that Almona, a Betula Almona, the Gerusha of Palutza, meant Arusin to live in Matayim, and I also know that a Betula certainly would get Matayim. Why do I have to put that in there?
Well, you are quite right. It starts off by saying Betula is a Bosomosai. That is the but that is the Iker Dahud Din Torah. According to this Tosfos, you remember, it works out that Kesub is Midoraisa, that a Basula gets 200 from a Baraisa. So the Mishnah, first of all, just says, Kesubo, but you're absolutely right. But if the Mishnah first lays down the law, Basula Kesubosa Mosai, that we know. That is the Din Torah. Then from there we go on. Now, the Gemara says. Now this Gemara is interesting Gemara, as we discussed last week. Ask the Gemara, my Almona. The question of my Almona, I'm sorry David, the question of my Almona is not what is an Almona. Don't fall into that trap.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, my Almona, what is the etymology of the word Almona? What is the word of etymology of the word Almona? What's worrying you, David?
Nothing.
Have you got the place?
That is what I've lost, yes.
Good,
I was going to find it without taking everyone's time.
My Almona. Ask the Gemara, what is the etymology of the word Almona? You might ask, you can start like that. Start, what is the etymology of the word Basula? What is the etymology of the word Kesuba?
Surely these words don't have etymology. These words don't have etymology.
I suppose each word does have a more. Why does the Gemara take on the word Almon and say, what is the etymology of the word Almon?
But an etymology...
Rabbi, his question is not what you think it is. Etymology, in this case, doesn't mean the history of the word's development. It means...
the origin of the word, the source of the
structure.
Word. What is the source of the word? The reason the Gemara says, my Almon, it's too close to be a coincidence. What? How much does an almona get for a kesuba? Almona. Mono, almono. The coincidence is too strong. That's what the Gemara asks, you see. Otherwise it can ask any question. Isn't that so, David? You can ask for anything. Why are you so quiet today?
Excuse me. I'll see what I can do.
Right.
Father's going to do almona.
Ask the Gemara, my Almona, what is the origin of the word Almona? Omar Rav Chano Begadito said Rav Chano from Baghdad, the Baghdadian, Almona Al Shei Mona. She's called Almona because she gets a mono. Her kesuba is 100, that's why she's called Almona. Ask the Gemara, Almona mina erisin ma ikol aveimer? In that case, what do you do? An almona mina erisin? She gets a kesuba of mosaim. Why is she called an almona? If you say it depends only on the because, that's why she's called an almona. What do you do? Almona mina erisin? answers the Gemara, Ivy, since the whole Kori lo Amono, that this one is called an Almono, Ho Nami Kori lo Amono. This one is also called an Amona. Since an Almona min Anasuin is called an Amona, so they use the same word for Almona min Oelesi. So, the Gemara's Hava Minu was, when the Gemara said, ask the question, Almona min Oelesi my Ikula Meimer, the Gemara said, you say that the reason why she's called an Almona is because it's Almona. You know, Oelesi, and she gets 200, she's still called an Almona. Ask the Gemara now the best question of all. See, ask Gemara, Almona di Kasivo Baraiso, my Ikola Maimer. But the Almono is written in the Torah. And everybody agrees that at the time when the Torah was given, there wasn't the law that an Almona must get a Kasuba of Almona. At the time when the Torah was given, the law was that a Basulo gets Mosaim, and that an Almono gets nothing. That's what was the law. So, but it says in the Torah it uses the word Almona. Not once and not twice. But it uses the word Almona in the Torah. Answers the Gemara, the Asidin Rabbonon de Mesakni lo Mono. Because in the future the Rabbonon are going to introduce the Mono. Therefore, when the Torah was given, the Torah called an Almona a Mono. Now, this is very difficult to take. Asks the Gemara, umikos of krole osid, does the Torah give a name on the future, call something by what is going to be called in the future? Is that possible? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It's clairvoyant.
Did Columbus call California, California? Because one day the Mexicans would come and they would call it California, so Columbus called it California. It doesn't seem to be right. So the Gemara says, Umikos of Krole Osid, does the Torah write in future what is going? Answers the Gemara in, yes. Dichsiv, because it's written in the Torah. The Shem HaNor HaShlishi Chidekel. And the name of the third river was Chidekel. You remember that past the Tigris in Ibrashis. Describes it there. The four rivers. Hu HaLoch Kidmas Ashur. That is a river. It's described when the world was created. Hashem created and he created Gan Eden. And he describes it. And the third river was the river Chidekel. And it went east of Ashur. What does Ashur stand for?
Either
the country or the town. Do you follow? Now, and this is the next part is very interesting. The Tano Rav Yosef, the Tano Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef learned Ashur Zusliko. This word Ashur doesn't mean the country of Ashur, but it means the town of Sliko, which was Ashur. So it means that the river Chidekel washed the eastern boundaries of the town of Ashur. Umi Havi, and was the town of Ashur in existence when the Torah was written? It wasn't. So you can see the country was in existence but not the town. So you can see that the Torah gives a name on something that it is going to be called in the future. Hello, but you've got to say the Asido. But in the future it's going to be called Ashur, Hochonami, therefore it calls it Ashur in the Torah, Hochonami the Asido. Yar also in the case of Almona, because in the future the Chachomim will say that it is a, she's going to get an Almona, so they already call it, the Torah calls it already Almona from today. That is the way the Gemara explains it. Which, to say the least, is very, very difficult. Very difficult. And that is the way I have learned it is the way that Rashi learns it. And last week, we began explaining it so that we could get some idea. Thank you, David. I'll give you another example. What the Torah does. Thank you very much. There is a place in Israel that's called Tveria. Tiberias. Those who have been to Tiberias know that besides it being on the lake, there are actually old ruins of old walls. There used to be a walled city. From where do those walls come? What period do they belong to?
The name is Roman.
So where are the walls from?
From the
Roman period. Those walls are Roman period walls. Why should the town be called Tiberias? What kind of a name is this? Tiberias.
What's the name of an emperor?
No, Tiber River, why is it called the Tiber River? Because of Tiberius, the name of the emperor. Is there any doubt about that, that that's why it's called Tiberia? The Gemara says, Tiberia, why is it called Tiberia? Tiburo de Ores. You know that Tiberia is below sea level. You know that it's below sea level. Don't you know that it's below sea level?
What is Tiberia?
Tibur means a navel. It's the navel of the earth.
That's
I ask you. Do you think that the Chachomim, who lived at that particular time, didn't know that the town was called Tiberias, because of Tiberias, Tiberias? Do you think they didn't know it? Do you think they didn't know that? Because it was in their time. And they said, you know why it's called the Gemara discussion. Why is it called Tiberia? Because Tiburo Shel Oretz. Because it's the navel of Tibur.
Tibur's navel?
Navel, Tiburo Shel Oretz. Navel of the earth. The navel of the earth.
There is political reason, right?
No. Spiritual. Now just look, try and understand. There's a certain animal. I will avoid naming that animal by its name. So what do I call it? I call it a dovor acher. A dovor acher means another thing. And you either understand what I'm saying or I don't. You don't understand. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, I don't like using the word. I might spell it out. You know what a dovor acher is. Or don't you know?
Only if you find know ahead of time.
Are we pardon?
If you find know ahead of time what you're alluding to, I know.
It's a P-I-G. I don't even like, I just spell it out, I don't have to pronounce the name. It's a P-I-G. I call it a dovor acher. I don't use the word at all, you see. I don't use the word at all. When the Torah is being written, and Noah has to take animals into the Orem, so from Behemoth to Horo, he takes seven of each kind. And what is the opposite of the Behemoth to Horo?
The Torah doesn't say behemoth tameh. The Torah says behemoth asher einenu tehoro. So it works out another 9 letters, another 10, 11 letters, not to say tameh, but to say asher einenu tehoro. That are from the animals that are not clean, rather than to say from a dirty animal. Say rather from the animals that are not clean. That is what we do with our language. That's what we do. If we are going to use the name Tiberius, why should we associate it with a Rosh Hashem Rishoy? With such a wicked person, why do we do that? So that's why I'm associated with that. So what does the Torah do? It finds another reason, but I give it its another name. So when I think of Tiberius, do you think I think of I don't think of that. I'm so already in this, that when I go down from Tzfat, and I'm going down and down and down, and I'm already seeing Lake Kinneret, Antveria there, Tiburo Shehoretz, it's the navel of the earth. And I think, does it mean the navel of Eretz Yisrael, or is it the navel of the whole world? Is it the center of Eretz Yisrael, or is it the center of the whole world? What is the center? If it's a sphere, if it's round, anywhere is the center. It's what you make the center. And those are the thoughts I think. And said, what are you, somebody travels and said, what are you thinking? I'm feeling what I'm thinking. Earlier, the Tiburish words. And he said, what are you saying about? Don't you know history? Don't you know politics? It's Tiberia because of Tiberius. What you have done to me. To bring all that tumor into my life. What do you want to do it for me for? Pornography. What do you want to sully my thoughts with a name like that? What do you want to do it to me for? That is Torah. That is Taharo. That is purity. That is purity. Do you follow what I'm saying? I told you once before, only once in my life did I see my uncle not being fully dressed in front of him. Took off his jacket. I take off my jacket. He would never take off his jacket in front of Gomorrah. To sit in front of Gomorrah and not be fully dressed. Couldn't understand that. I used to notice that whenever he sat down at Gomorrah, he was in the yeshiva. And in the yeshiva, sometimes he was called out. They needed him in the office. Somebody came to see sometimes. It was some administrative thing. They wanted to consult him, ask him to come into the office. He would come into the office and he would come back into the yeshiva and he would sit down at the Gemara. And he would sit down at the Gemara like this. His Gemara would have been closed. He would sit down like this. And he would open the Gemara. And he would sit here and then he would sit just like this. No movement at all. To me, it seemed an age. I suppose it was 2 minutes, but that is the way he was sat. Why do you think he sat like that? I always thought it was to compose himself. Came in, he wanted to compose himself before. Compose. I always took it to be that. He would never come back and open an already himself. It was only comparatively recently that I was working on something in the Nefesh HaChaim of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And Reb Chaim Volozhin says that when one comes to one's learning, one should be misvade first. Make confession for any sin that was done since one's last left. Why? It should be taro, it should be purity. It was only then I realized what my uncle was doing. He had gone out. They needed him, administration. a certain format to be filled out, how to fill it out. Some money matter was coming in, was not coming in. What must they do? How must they go about it? Money, Gemara. He came in and he was metahir himself. He purified his machshavas and his pure, and then he started. To sit in Tveria and to learn and to think Tveria because of Tiberius. Don't do that. There is in Bob Metzia, there is a word, Kolknei Ampurion. Ampurion, Rashi says, what does Kolknei Ampurion mean? Rashi says, it means a new article. Kolk, a new article. Says Rashi, from where does the word Ampurion come from? Says Rashi, it's notricon. What's notricon? Ein puria. Ein po rio. Ein po rio. Yeah, there is no sight. The eye hasn't yet saturated the article. The eye hasn't become accustomed to the article. The eye cannot recognize the article just by having seen it once. It's just been bought, and it was lost. The owner can't just recognize it. Ein po rio. When I saw that the first time, I thought, good heavens, didn't Rashi know from where the word comes from? Everybody in California, north of California, south California, knows the word emporium. Emporium, it's a Greek word and it means a bazaar or a marketplace. Everybody knows that. Of course Rashi knew it. But when I say enclave emporium, have I got to think of a Greek marketplace? Can you imagine what takes place in the Greek marketplace? Do you know what it means in the Greek marketplace? Can you imagine what goes on in the Greek? So when I learn Gemara, if I call Klei Ampurion, I've got to think of a Greek marketplace and everything that goes on. Call Klei Ampurion, Ein Po Rio. You think it in those terms. It's clean. That is Torah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stuart, are you getting the idea here? That is Torah, you see. Leonid, it's not politics. It's not philology. That is Torah. The Gemara says, Almono. It's an unusual word. There must be something that is pure about it. Almono? Says yes, because of Almono. But how can it be on the future? Says yes, because the Torah does that. The Torah gives a name on what it's going to be, what a place is going to be, the Torah. The Torah knows it. And what does the word widow mean? I don't know what the word widow means. The word Almono, that is what the word Almono means. So when you think of the word Almono, you don't think of Lahore. Is that the man's name? Lahore. L-E-H-A-R.
Well, Lahar.
Yes. That's not what you think of. That's not what you think of. You think of Almono. She gets married again, she gets 100. It's the aloha, she gets 100. That's what you think of. Immediately, Almono. That's what you think of.
I used to enjoy that opera, but I can't anymore.
Almono, that's it. You get the idea, Phil? That's what the Torah tells us. Says, would the Torah do a thing like that? Yes, of course the Torah would do a thing like that. Of course it would do it. To keep you pure, to keep your machshavas pure, to keep your minds pure, to keep your thoughts pure, not to contaminate it. You know what pornography does to the person? Pure as puritas can possibly be. That is how we understand it. Now, I want to go through the Rashi of this. Saul, do you want to ask anything?
I don't understand at all.
All right. You understand a little bit?
Yes.
I just want a little bit in its chias. A little bit of infinity. How much is it? A little bit of infinity. A little bit of a million gets lost. But a little bit of infinity, we're dealing with Nitzchius. And with Ruchnius. Ruchnius is Nitzchius. A little bit of Nitzchius. Do you know what it means? A little bit of infinity. Tiny kite, a little bit of infinity. It's a tremendous amount. You understand it a little bit? I'm very happy you understand it a little bit. Means a lot. Yes, Philip.
On Almana, it was named on something in the future that it would come from Mana.
Yes.
On Hidekel, it was named for the future that it would be the city of Ashur.
What's not Hidekel.
Hidekel is the river.
Is the river. Ashur is really Sliko, because it says it washes the eastern suburbs of Sliko, of Ashur, of this town Ashur.
It was Ashur that was not there yet.
No, it was a town. You follow? Like, let us say, there is a town called New York, and there's a state called New York. The New York state was there even before Columbus came there. The state. So it wasn't called New York, but it was there. But the Manhattan was certainly not there. The town was certainly not there. You understand? That is the whole point here. And you've got to understand it like this, otherwise you'll run into difficulties with Rashi and Tosfos. Daniel, are you feeling a little bit happier about all these things?
There's a lot of words that I'm...
Words are right, words. Isn't it? I want you just to get an idea of what Torah is, what Torah does, and what Torah is concerned about. And that is the way we understand this little piece of Gemara. Yes, Mishnah.
I'm stuck on something.
So am I, but you see the same thing, yes?
I see the way the Torah wants to take our minds.
Yes. It
wants to take our minds back. Take our minds back to thinking the right way. Thinking, to seeing what's closer to us rather than where we've been led to think.
Yes.
And somehow I have this belief that since Hashem created us along lines of the Torah, Torah is the blueprint, so to speak, I can't understand why it is so hard to return back, or why this whole world is going in the opposite direction. I have to swim against the current.
You've got to swim against the current, that is true. The world is going further and further away. And what we do is, what we are doing is, we are helping ourselves at the moment to swim against the current. Of course. Look here. If a person thinks of blue, and we did the experiment, you say blue to him. And they say, now, association of ideas. Say blue. Sea. Beach. Venice. You know already what's going to happen. Girls. You know already what's going to happen.
How?
But imagine if it's the chalice. Good. And now he's put it into the tzitzis. The Techeinus, the glue. What do you think of glue? The Chilo comes from the sea. Sea is blue. Sky. Shemayim. Kisei Yaakov. Hashem. That's what he thinks of. Depends how sound the foundation is on which you build. If blue is on a weak foundation, you come up thinking of the Venice Beach. and everything that goes on there, and you contaminate your mind. But if it is tzitzis, that's where it starts. Look where you go. Go into the heavens above. That's where you go. The world, where does it start from? And it goes, of course it goes to this. So we are reversing the process. The same that Dr. Utian does, sterilize people. You know what it means? Sterilize people. He told me this afternoon, one of his units there, microsurgery, reversing the process of women coming. Say, look here, you did this, you want to have a child. Reversing the process of getting a child. That is what we, exactly what you said earlier, Milton, what we are doing is we are reversing the process. Now, please let us go further. Dula Rashi, Begadatoho, says Rashi, Begadator means Demin Barda. You mustn't think that it's in Gadat, but it's Demin, it's from Gadat. The Bayez belongs to Baghdad, it doesn't, it's not in. Al Shei Mono, She'im Nisei's mission is Armelo. If she gets married from the time that she became an Armono, Ein Lo Kesubo El Armono, for a second marriage, she gets only Mono. So what do you do with the mona that is written in the Torah? And in the time of the Torah, kesubas weren't introduced yet. And Rashi Shita,
what's the adayin?
Not yet, from Od. The adayin lo nisakne kesubas. In the time of the Torah, the kesubas weren't yet nisakne. Rashi Shita is that Kesuba is Midrabona. Tosfos is that Kesuba is Midoraisa. Rashi Shita is that the Kesuba is Midrabona. Will you notice that, please? And remember it. Are you right?
Yes.
You seem so... Irresponsive.
I'm remembering.
Fine. Now, that's what Rashi says here, yes? Ask the Gemara, Ubi Kesiv Kro Likras Al Shem Dovre Osi, does the Torah use a word because of what is going to be in the future? And the Gemara says, yes, you've got the Araya, the proof from Chidekel, that washes Ashur, and Ashur Zus Liko, Shem Ir, it's the name of a city. Asks the Gemara, and Rashi is explaining, Umi havi o ir benuya bibriyas olam? And was the city of Sliko, the city of Ashur, built at the time of the creation of the world? V'chsib, where it's written, Aholech kidmas Ashur, it goes east of the Ashur. The city wasn't even built. But it works out that because a city will be built, and it will be called Ashur, so the Torah already uses the word Ashur. In the same way, the Torah already uses the word Almono, although it's only going to be in the future that she's going to be get the Kesuba of Almona. Right? Yes,
What does Benuya mean?
What is the what?
Benuya mean?
Built. From Bone, Benuya. Built.
Built Riyahu Allah, built in the creation of the world.
Built? I'm sorry. We have, and was the city built? Bibrias olam at the creation of the world. At the creation of the world. Right? Have you got the story? Now,
I thought I understood from your explanation of the etymology of Almana that one of the reasons which we understand it is so that we can remember that even though she is a widow, she will be coming married again. So the idea that we keep a positive notion about her in our head. Is that
you can say that. You can say that. That's one of the aspects of it. You can say that.
Can we go back from that to the analogy of Asur? And then I can ask, what are we trying to say about Asur to keep it clean?
No. with Ashur it's only. That Hashem knows that this is going to happen in the future, so he already calls it Ashur.
I thought there might be an analogy.
Yes. That calls it Ashur. There's another difficulty here, but rather than come onto this difficulty now, and it's a difficulty that is introduced by Tosfos, I would much rather go further in the Gemara, because we are on the subject and I want to clinch the whole subject in the Gemara. If you'll go back to the Gemara, gentlemen, the Omar Rav Chana Begadator, furthermore said Rav Chana Begadator the Baghdadian, Motor, the word Motor, Mashke, Marve, Umezabel, Umeadein, Umamshech. Here it's not a question of no trickle. It's not a question of in the word Motor we can think of other words and expressions. That's not what it wants to tell us. Not like the example I gave you of Empuria. Not like that. Yer says Rav Chana is something else. He says the word Motor Rei. What does the Jew think when he hears the word Rei? That's what he's telling us. Now, I'm already explaining to you the Gemara. I'm explaining to you. Or let us do the Gemara inside. Motor. Motor means Mashke, waters, Marve, what did we say last time for Marve? It waters, it nourishes. It satiates, it quenches is the word. Thank you. Who said that? Thanks. Mashke, it waters, Marve, it quenches, Umezabel, and it fertilizes, it nourishes. Umeadein, and it beautifies. Umamshich, and it promotes growth. That is water.
Why in this particular order do we have these words?
Because that's the order in which he does it.
No,
first,
I understand what you're saying, but why does he give them to us in this order?
Well, you must ask, the question you must ask is, what is Rav Chana saying? Water. Don't I know that water does that? Of course water does that. But look, it goes on. Of course water does that. But look how it goes on.
It promotes growth before it beautifies. Or is it beautified by washing off the leaves?
You know, it isn't. The trouble is, it's not only your trouble, it's everybody's trouble here. You live in Los Angeles. You see?
That's a big problem.
Yes. You've got advantages, but there's some advantages. You don't see the fields after the rain. You don't see that. If you see the fields after the rain, Ma'aden comes before Mamshech. It's a beautiful sight. And then comes the growth afterwards.
Los Angeles, we don't even see rain.
Yes. Well, I could come into that in a moment. Micro says Rovo, the son of Rabbi Ishmael, and others say it was Rabbi Yemer, the son of Shalmaya. What did one of these say? Micro. Where is it in the Torah that that is what rain does? He says Telomeho Rave. David HaMelech in the previous verse speaks about rain, and he says it quenches the furrows. It's not tlomeo, not quite furrows. You know, when the plow goes through and it makes a furrow, then it makes on the other side there's a heap and then another furrow. The telomeo are the heaps.
Ridges.
The ridges is the word I want. Telomeo rave. It quenches the ridges. Naches gedudeho. It goes down to the furrows. Birevivim debogegeno. It softens it with light rains. Simcho tevorech. It blesses its growth.
Okay.
still here. What does this mean? What's all this about? How do we understand
this?
Where
does it all come from all of a sudden?
What's it got to do with it? First of all, David wants to know, what's it got to do with what we learned before? The second thing is, what's it telling us here? What's it telling us here? Now, just want to explain something to you. You ask, baseball fan or a football fan on a Shabbos afternoon, ask him on a Friday night. It's raining on a Friday night. Ask him, what is this rain doing? What will he answer?
Washing out the game.
Washing out the game. Washing out the game. That's what he answers you. Washing out the game. Washing out the game. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with what he says?
The distorted perspective.
Very good, thank you. It's a distorted perspective. Of course it's a distorted perspective.
Well,
I mean, that's what he understands. Washing out a game. That's what he understands. But you ask him, washing out a game. Man's putting up a building. He's just digging the foundations. The rain comes. What does rain do? What will he say? It ruins my work. And you don't know what this costs me. What does rain do? It ruins my work. That's the way he sees it. Now, once we are speaking almono, you get the word widow. We don't want to think of lahad. Widow, almono. Taking in what you said also, David. Almono. What's it mean? It's very easy to get to Almono. That's the way we think. Says Rav Chono Bagdato. Just take it further. Take a word like moto. What does a Jew think when he's moto? His immediate reaction must be moto, mashke marve mezabe maden mamshich. That's his immediate reaction. It spoils the game. That's not moto. It doesn't make him, he's going to make X expenses for his building, he's going to ruin his work. That's not motor. Motor is mashke marve mezabel madein umamshich. That is motor.
What is the difference between geshem and motor? Where would you use one?
Motor is a light rain, isn't it?
Motor, geshem is something that is more material in its more material sense.
So geshem washes out games.
It's a more material thing. Motor is the blessing of rain. Motor is more the blessing of rains. Motor is the blessing of rain. Right. Now, that's what he says. Look what the next thing he says. Micro, very good. All very good. But we would like to go a little bit further. Is there an authority for it? Of course, that is what rain is. We would feel happier if we knew that was the Ribbono Shel Olam said what it is. He says, yes. Take David HaMelech. David HaMelech in the 65th Psalm is speaking about rain. And then the Psalm goes on and David says, "Ufor kadu to es ha'oretz," and then you remember the earth and you bring the rain to the earth. And what does it do? Telo me'oravei, it quenches its ridges. Naches gedudeo, it goes down to the furrows. Berevivim temozegelu, with soft rain, it softens the earth. Simcho tevorech, the rain promotes the growth. There you've got it. You've got it there. So in the Torah itself, you see, when David HaMelech blesses the rain, those are the things that he thinks about. Got it? Omar Rabbi Elazar, said Rabbi Elazar, Mizbeach. A Mizbeach, an altar. Says Rabbi Elazar, Meziach u'meizin mechabev mechaper. A Mizbeach, it's Meziach u'meizin mechabev mechaper. When a person says Mizbeach, now, comes a very interesting thing here, what Rabbi Elazar does.
Why? Is there any indication of why we're doing word associations here?
Yes, because of the word Almona. Just because of the word Almona. Because my Almona, Almona is an unusual word. We are dealing just with Mosheim and Mona. Is it just a coincidence that Almona and Mona, it's too good to be true, this. Yes?
Why are we choosing these particular words to follow up on?
Exactly.
Why these particular
words?
Why Matar, why Mizbeach? After we've done Almon already.
Yes.
So fine, I'm sure I understand because you just want to show a proof. But why are you continuing? Why with these words?
Giving examples, it gives for the time being, just leave it examples of this type of thing. So now he starts from Mortor, which is just when we think of a word, what we should think, and there's a proof in the Torah. Right. The next comes Rabbi Eliezer, Mizbeach. Now, it's not, he doesn't think what Mizbeach does. Mizbeach, there's something else also. The word Mizbeach. Mizbeach. So, in the word Mizbeach, we've got the idea of one of the things, Mizbeach. It's in Mizbeach. The words are in Mizbeach. So in the words itself, it teaches us. You see, we can have an association of ideas sometimes just from the thing itself. It suggests, blue suggests C. We can have sometimes in a word itself that the word itself suggests something else. Mizbeach. The way the word is made up, or the way the word sounds, it's Mizbeach.
I understand. That's
all.
Two examples of different types of subjects.
That's right.
Is there any significance of these two examples?
No, not for the time being.
Okay.
Leave that for the time being. Just let us get this, then we've gone a long way, you see. Because, you know, it's easier for me to take this Gemara and just skip the whole Gemara and go on. I don't want to do that. I want to show you on every piece of Gemara. You've got to understand that this is Avona and Nishuach. This is what we're doing. Avona, understanding the Gemara before you came in, we were speaking about it. Right. Now let us go on a little bit further. Do you understand?
I think so,
Rabbi. Omar Rabbi El-Oza, said Rabbi El-Oza, Mizbeach, from the word Mizbeach, Meziach, how many words of in the word Meziach, how many letters do we take from Mizbeach? Three. U'meizin, we take two. The Mizbeach is Meziach. Meziach means it wards off. Meizin, it feeds. Mechabev, it endears. Mechaper, it atones. That is what we think when we get the word Mizbeach, that is what we think. That's now you know, you're asking an archaeologist, Mizbeach, what is the first word he says?
Altar.
No. Say altar. If you say altar to him, what
is sacrifice?
Well, that's already
stone.
That's history. Stone, yes. If you say a Mizbeach to
fighting discovery.
The first thing you say, what is that place in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel, down in the south? They uncovered it there, and there's an altar there. I went there once.
Shabbat?
It's not far from Be'er Sheva, but it's what's it called? No, it's something with an Ella, something like that. I went there and they brought me to this find, you see. I thought, good heavens. And there was somebody came up to me, he said, you know, I don't think we've got the right to be here. I said, you're quite right, so it's a Nevada Zora here. I mean, you tell that to an archaeologist, Ms. Bayer, tell him archaeologist, he thinks...
Find out, Merrick.